We are starting a new series today called Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. And if you are new here with us, we're thrilled that you're here today. It's a great week to check out Northeast Christian Church, but also a great opportunity to get in on the beginning of a series. We're going to spend the next several weeks on this topic, and I'll get into explaining that in just a moment. I asked my wife a few weeks back, I said, this is too edgy. Can I call this sermon series Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe? And she did. She said, I think you could call it Dumb Things That Dumb Christians Believe. But she was joking. She has a good sense of humor. But during this series, we're going to cover a handful of sayings or beliefs that sometimes as Christians we have, and we don't even know it, but they're not, well, I don't want to ruin it yet. No spoiler alert just yet. But we're going to ask the question, are these really Christian? Are they biblical statements? Today, we're going to cover this topic or this idea that God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. How many of you have ever heard that before? God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. How many of you have ever said God helps those who help themselves before? Anybody? Anybody believe that to be a biblical statement? Anybody in the room? How about a helpful statement, maybe? God helps those who help themselves. Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to kind of answer those questions. Is it biblical? Is it helpful? So I'm glad that you're here. There was a religious man who was at home and got caught in a flood. And the water began to rise around his neighborhood. And eventually, the authorities came in and they began to evacuate people from their neighborhood. Hey, you need to leave. You need to get to higher ground. Well, he was kind of set in his ways, and he decided, I'm gonna ride this storm out, this flood out. I'm just going to stay at home. And so he did. And eventually the water began to rise, and he had to make his way up to the second floor, even made his way out onto the roof. And, by this point, he has no other choice. Well, eventually a neighbor comes by, and they said, hey, George, get in the canoe. I mean, we can help you. We can rescue you. And he said, no, I've prayed about this to God. I've asked God for help. God will save me. I'm okay. You can go on. And so, the neighbor went on by. Well, later on, the police came by in a boat. And they said, Mr. George, get in the boat. Please be saved. You're going to die. This flood is, it's not over yet. And he said, I've prayed about this. Thank you, but I'm okay. God will save me. God will help me. And the water began to, continue to rise. And eventually a helicopter came by, a rescue helicopter, and they lowered down a rope ladder and they said, sir, please get in the helicopter. Take hold of the ladder. Please save yourself. And he said, I've prayed about it and God will save me. God will help me. I'm okay. And as you might imagine, the floodwaters continued to rise and they washed his home away. He was flushed down river and he died. And next thing he knows, he finds himself standing in front of the gates of heaven, and he's kind of put off, he's been a Christian for a long time, he's been a God-fearing man, he's prayed to God and read his Bible, he's done everything that he thinks he should have done, and he says, I demand to speak to God right now, and he's ushered into, and this isn't theologically accurate, okay, but he's ushered into the throne room, and God, why didn't you save me? And God says, well, I sent you a canoe, and I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter, and you didn't take advantage of any of them. Here's my point. Can we all agree that God helps us in a lot of different ways, doesn't he? God helps us by putting people around us that encourage us, friends, family, that speak truth into our lives. God helps us by putting his Holy Spirit inside of us that convicts us, that instructs us, that guides us where we need guiding. God helps us in many different ways, sometimes by speaking hard words into our lives from situations or people around us. God helps us in many different ways. Sometimes God helps us through miracles in our lives as well. But I think we can all agree there are different ways that God helps us. And yet when we talk about this topic of God helping us, sometimes this idea that God helps those who help themselves is one of the first things that comes to mind. Jay Leno used to have a show and a segment on his show called Jaywalking. Anybody remember that? Well, one night, Jay sends his cameraman out on the street to ask people to name one of the Ten Commandments. Just, tell us one of the Ten Commandments. Well, the number one commandment that was shared by people on the street was, God helps those who help themselves, which, first of all, isn't a commandment, and second of all, it's not in the Bible anywhere. Now, many years ago, the Barna Research Group did a poll on biblical literacy in America. And this poll was 15 years ago, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't think literacy has really improved all that much. So I think these statistics could still hold somewhat accurate. But they asked them the question, is the statement God helps those who help themselves in the Bible? And 53% of the general American population said yes. I mean, not Christian, not just 53% of the general American population said yes, it's in the Bible. Among those who consider themselves born-again Christians, 68% said yes, it's a biblical statement. Now, among Christians of all stripes, okay, they said 81% said yes. So if we work that research backwards, it kind of seems like those who don't attend church know a little bit more about the Bible than those who do, when you have a smaller population of the American public saying this is an idea. God helps those who help themselves is nowhere in the Bible, by the way. And some of you might be thinking, yeah, but it's Scripture. I'm sure it is. I know it is. Well, it's sure not biblical Scripture. There's a variant of it in the Quran, actually. In chapter 13, verse 11, here's what it says. Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change what's in themselves. Doesn't come from the Bible. It does come from Ben Franklin. He talked about this in Poor Richard's Almanac, this concept. Well, they adapted it from one of Aesop's fables from Greek mythology in the 6th century B.C. In this story, there's a wagon driver and his cart gets stuck in the mud. And he cries out to Hercules and he says, please help me. And Hercules says this, get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help themselves. The gods help them that help themselves. It's rather ironic to me that a polytheistic tale from Greek mythology has somehow found its way into our Christian beliefs and what we understand that the Bible would teach. I mean, what's the significance of this? Well, we have to figure this out because honestly, it reveals how most Christians kind of perceive their relationship with God. To paraphrase what was said there again, if I put my shoulder to the wheel, then God will help me. If I get busy working, if I do my own thing, then God will help me, God will bless that. Shane Pruitt wrote a column for Relevant Magazine entitled, 7 Unbiblical Statements Christians Believe. Now that article, along with this book, it's called 10 Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. I wish I could say I came up with the title of my own. But along with that and this book, and honestly hearing these sayings over and over and over and over and over again through the years, I thought someday I need to preach a series on that. So we're going to have a little bit of, hopefully it's a little fun, okay? This is a serious topic, but we're going to have a little bit of fun as well over the next few weeks with some of these ideas that we grew up with, or maybe we've said or believed at different times. And I hope that I don't offend anyone. If this is something that you hold firm to, like, no, that's there. You can't tell me otherwise. Just have an open mind over the next few weeks, because really we're going to back this up with Scripture, and that's kind of hard to argue with. But in that column, 7 unbiblical statements that Christians believe, Shane Pruitt says this about this particular statement. This statement's actually anti-gospel. Obviously, God gave us gifts and talents that we're supposed to use, but self-reliance and self-righteousness, or the attitude of trying harder and doing better, actually gets in the way of the work of God. In reality, Jesus helps those who die to themselves. So what we're going to do each week is we're going to take a look at one of these sayings, and we're going to answer the question, is this biblical? Is it not? But here's a clue to the whole series. Here is a spoiler alert. They're not biblical, okay? None of them are. None of the topics that we're going to cover, you won't find them or a variant of them in Scripture. You might be able to find a singular verse that might argue an element of it, but when we're done addressing the issue, then we're going to propose some better biblical statements, okay? So along those lines, this idea that God helps those who help themselves, I've got 3 better biblical statements to share with you this morning. The first one is this: God helps those who deny themselves. God helps those who deny themselves. Not God helps those who help themselves, but God helps those who deny themselves. That's what Jesus is getting at in the first text I want to read this morning. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And he said to all, Jesus is speaking, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Deny himself. Fundamental to understanding the gospel is understanding that those who give away receive more. Those who lower themselves are lifted up. Those who deny themselves receive abundant life. And yet somehow, some way, we commingle our worldly cultural beliefs with Christianity, and we buy into this idea that those who take more are going to be blessed. That those who pursue happiness are going to be happiest. That those who lift themselves up are going to be exalted. God helps those who help themselves. I mean, that's more in line with traditional American values than it is with authentic Christian values. Jesus said you have to lose your life if you want to save it. That you have to deny yourself if you want to gain the whole world. So what does the word deny mean in Luke chapter 9, verse 23? What, you know that I like to go and figure out what is the original meaning of the word. Well, here's what the biblical definition of this word deny is in Luke 9. It means to affirm that one has no connection to or no acquaintance with. To affirm that one has no connection to or no acquaintance with. That's what it means to deny. This is the same word, by the way, that Peter uses in Luke 22 when he's denying Jesus. When he denies Jesus three times on Good Friday and he says, I didn't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know the man. He denies any connection with or any acquaintance with Jesus. We're told to deny ourselves. So what does that look like? What would it look like to deny yourself? What would it look like to deny your own rights? To have no acquaintance with, no connection with our own agenda, our own desires, our own rights. What does that look like? I mean, do we ever deny ourselves anything? Sometimes. I mean, do we deny ourselves the right to respond to a personal attack at the workplace or in a relationship? What about social media? Do we deny ourselves the right to respond to something on social media that we disagree with? Or maybe a conversation at the water cooler at work? I mean, do we deny ourselves, or is our first instinct often to exercise our right to help ourselves? I have a theory here. Perhaps God doesn't help those who help themselves because they don't know they need his help. And perhaps, maybe sometimes we struggle in this area because we can help ourselves to almost everything. As Americans today, we can help ourselves to almost anything. We turn on the faucet and we have cold water running right there at the sink, right? And that sets us apart from much of the world. Turn the other faucet and we have hot water. That puts us in another category altogether. We have a roof over our heads. We have air conditioning and heating to keep us nice and comfortable at home. We go to the grocery store and the shelves are stocked with anything that we could imagine or want. You know, my wife is very cautious. She'll send me to the store with a list. She knows what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to bring back what she has on the list. And then about 15 other things. The other day she sends me a text. She says, hey, can you stop by and get such and such? And only that. But we go to the supermarket and the shelves are stocked with everything. We go to the gas station and, you know, the pump doesn't run dry. We lack for nothing most of the time. Far more often, we're worried about the luxuries in life than we are with our needs. Even the poorest of Americans are some of the richest people on planet Earth. I've shared this before, but if you own a car, you may not know this, but if you own a car, you're in the top 8% of wealth in the world. If you own a car. I mean, most of us probably have at least one, maybe two in our home. But perhaps we don't realize that we need God because we are so self-reliant, so independent, so self-sufficient, so well cared for. But God helps those who deny themselves. Number two, God helps those who help others. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Give and it will be given to you, says verse 38. Everybody helps themselves, right? I mean, that's normal. We grow up and you know, as youngsters, kids on the playground, everybody looks out for themselves. Everybody helps themselves, but not everybody helps others. Helping others it's divine, really. Helping others is from God. When we help others, God blesses us. When we help others, we get the experience of bringing joy into somebody else's life. That's a blessing. When we help others, we're blessed because God promises a special provision to those who help others. We are blessed, and this is the most important element of this argument. We are blessed because when we help others, we become more like God. Helping others, that's a godly thing. I mean, the whole gospel can be summed up about God helping others, that God became a man, that he shared our struggles, he put on human flesh, yet he didn't sin, he died a horrible, painful, sacrificial death for each one of us. He allowed himself to be crucified, to be sacrificed, to take our punishment, and then he defeated death. The whole message of the gospel is that God helps others. I've got a quote from Stephen Colbert, and he said this. It was a sarcastic response to somebody else, but this is what he said. If this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we've got to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. Now, I have to tell you, sometimes helping people gets a little messy. Amen? Anybody experienced that? I mean, when we give up our food to help the hungry, things might get a little messy. When we give up space in our home to help the homeless or someone who's struggling, when we give up margin in our lives to help the lonely, sometimes things get a little bit messy. When we open up our hearts and we get close to somebody and then we experience hurt, things get a little messy. I don't know if you know this, but hurting people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And when you go to help someone who is hurting, you might get hurt in the process. Helping others sometimes gets a little bit messy. But is there anything messier than the cross? I mean, the cross of Christ, the blood, the sweat, the tears. Is anything messier than the cross, the ultimate demonstration of God helping humanity? The truth is, we all need God's help. So let's commit to helping others. God helps those who deny themselves. God helps those who help others. Number three this morning, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 and following. After this, this is Jesus again. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. We would know him as Matthew. Sitting at the tax collector booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." Leaving everything, he rose and followed him, and Levi made him a great feast in his house. There was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Who does Jesus help? It was not the healthy, but the sick. Not those who can take care of themselves, but those who know they cannot. Over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus seems to have really not much use for the Pharisees. I mean, we see that over and over again. These religious leaders who were so self-reliant and so self-righteous, the reason he didn't have much use for them was you can't help someone who doesn't want it. You can't help someone who thinks that they don't need help. I mean, anybody ever experienced that before? You really just kind of have to back up and just wait. Pray for them and just wait. Be ready for when they're ready to accept some help or recognize they need some help. But other than that, you can't help someone who doesn't want it or doesn't think they need it. But those who need help, Jesus can help them. Jesus helps them. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was sent to share the good news of the gospel with the poor, with the prisoner, with the blind, with the oppressed. Not the people who thought that they could help themselves, but those who knew that they could not. Let me summarize the good news of the gospel for you. Jesus, God, doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who deny themselves. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who help others. God helps those who cannot help themselves. That's what the gospel teaches. That's what the Bible would teach about helping others, about helping people. So the question then becomes, what are we going to do with that? How do we put that in motion? Well, first of all, I want to challenge you. Stop saying God helps those who help themselves, okay? It's just not biblical. I mean, you can say it if you want to, but don't claim to be a Christian and say that. Just stop saying it, okay? Get it out of your vocabulary. Second, I want to challenge you over the next few weeks to keep an open mind. Because I'm certain if we continue through this series, one of these topics is going to hit pretty close to home, perhaps. And so I want to challenge you to keep an open mind and allow your worldly, culturally influenced beliefs or sayings to kind of be open to balancing them against Scripture. What does God's Word actually say? And then the third thing, and this is our takeaway for today. This week, deny yourself something to help someone who maybe cannot help themselves. Deny yourself something this week to help someone who maybe cannot help themselves. What does that look like? Well, maybe you and your family have a weekly tradition where you get pizza and soda and a movie, and maybe you've budgeted 50, 60, 75 bucks. I don't know for that. And that's awesome. I'm glad that you do that. But maybe this week you decide, hey, we're going to forego that, and we're going to find a family, or we're aware of a family in our neighborhood or our workplace or even in our small group or our church. They could really use some encouragement. And we're going to give that money or throw a pizza party for them, something along those lines. Deny yourself something this week in order to help someone who maybe cannot help themselves. Maybe you and your spouse have a date night. And you do. You budget for that, and that's a normal plan in your life, in your relationship. I want to challenge you, and that's awesome, by the way. My wife and I try and do that regularly. I encourage that. But maybe this week, you decide, hey, we're going to bless someone else. And so maybe you deny yourselves that opportunity this week in order to help someone who maybe cannot do that. I'm betting most of you who work have a lunch hour. Or maybe you have a hobby that you partake in, mountain biking. Or, golf or something like that. And you've got a hobby that takes time and or money. Maybe this week you decide, hey, I'm going to deny myself that this week in order to help out at the homeless shelter or to help out at Clifton Christian Church at their food and clothing bank or to help at the Salvation Army or somewhere. I'm going to go and I'm going to take the time that I would normally dedicate to that. I'm going to deny myself that, and I'm going to go and help someone who maybe cannot help themselves. I have a smartphone. Most of you probably do as well. And, I don't know what it was, but recently I recognized, I sure text a lot of people rather than calling them. Anybody ever been ready to contact somebody and in that moment you're like, I don't really want to call them. I think I'll text them. Recently I found myself thinking, why do I not want to talk to this person? So to kind of recalibrate my life, a personal, evaluation exercise, I thought, I'm just going to call them. Hey, how you doing today? Rather than text them, I'm going to call them. And so I just want to challenge you, maybe this week you do a little recalibrating in this area of your life and you deny yourself something in order to help someone else. Now I have to tell you a little disclaimer, sidebar. After first service, I was approached by somebody in the hall. It was BJ Baker. And he said, so let me get this straight, Seth. If you call me this week, what that means is you didn't want to talk to me, but then you felt guilty about it, so then you called me. Like only you would think of that, BJ. But maybe this week you deny yourself something in order to help someone who cannot maybe help themselves. We lived in Mexico from 2002 to 2009. We had some phenomenal family experiences down there. Some of the best experiences that we've had, and other than the last 4 years, here in Grand Junction. But living down there, it never failed. Whenever we would go out as a family to the supermarket, to the downtown, or wherever, we would always encounter people who were begging. Of all ages, boys and girls and men and women, just people begging. And there was one young man, 10, 11, 12, 13, I don't know how old he was, but I saw him quite frequent. He would have an area, but he would work his way around the market, and he would always come up, and he would always have a story. And it was, mom was sick, and they needed money for medicine, or they didn't have enough money for food, or something had broken, they needed to fix it. And, I have to tell you, it was heartbreaking at times. There were times I wasn't in a great place of mind, or peace of mind, too, and I would kind of say, not right now, I don't have time for that. But I was out one evening with a friend of mine, Brian, and he said, you know what, tonight, you know that young man that's always around? I said, oh yeah, I know who he is. And he said, I'm going to give him quite a bit of money tonight just to encourage him. And I said, you know it's a scam, right? I mean, he's got his little group that he's in charge of, and somebody's in charge of him, and they're just going around begging for money. You know that, right? And he said, you know, Seth, that scam or not, is still a bunch of little kids running around begging for money. Something's not right with that. And I want to make sure that my heart and my mind are in the right place when it comes to that. And I don't know where that is for you, but I just want to encourage you to be reminded, God helps those who deny themselves. God helps those who help others. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Let's pray together today.